This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's a happy day. My heart feels like an alligator.
Howie Carr, Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
The public will be truly amazed by that.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
It is a special pleasure for me to introduce
Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. And thanks to everybody. We had a great time at Grace's birthday party on Friday. I was eating the great subs from Mortadella Head all weekend long. I was eating the great chocolate birthday cake from Montilio's Bakery all weekend long. It was fantastic. Would you agree, Jared?
Yeah, I actually finished off the last of my leftover cake yesterday.
I still got a little bit left for dinner tonight, and there will be dinner. But anyway, there was an unexpected event on Saturday afternoon. What we're being told is a meteorite, and this is
there it is.
This moon rock. It's pretty cool.
It used to it came. I got it out of the sea. And I have several pieces, and we'll have a lot of this to give away at Litchfield's Bar and Grill at our remote on a week from Friday. But I just wanted to say that this is here. But we need to find out what happened. And so we are joined right now. He's in the studio, Tim Kelly. He is the weather guy.
I mean, meteorologist, please, Howie.
Meteorologist, okay.
And you're holding up a rock, and you're on the radio, so do people know that you're holding up a rock?
Yeah, I'm holding it up for Rumble and for Twitter and for Facebook, so they know. This is the way it is with these rocks. It just looks like a regular rock that I took out of the dirt.
Imagine it hitting one of us in the head at 70,000 miles per hour. How would that feel?
It would hurt.
That would leave
it. It would hurt. Numb. But anyway, what happened, Tim? Do we really know what happened? Because there were two, you know, that now I'm getting to get on my feed here, that two explosions over the U.S. East Coast in 72 hours, the first Thursday in South Carolina, and then this one on Saturday.
Well, you know Cape Cod. You can go down to Cape Cod, and the sky is usually brighter, and the lights are dimmer in the evening, and you can lay down there behind Moby Dick's in the marsh, just mind the mosquitoes. And if you just look up, you're going to see shooting stars, one every 10 seconds, maybe one every 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So there is all kinds of extraterrestrial tonnage skimming across the top of...
Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial. That would be meteors. I'm a meteorologist, and my studies include things falling from within our atmosphere. So this meteor came from without our atmosphere, the extraterrestrial. Yes, it was sent to us by E.T.
609 says, I think it was actually Plattner's campaign crashing.
Into pieces. I don't know much about that, but I did study weather on Cape Cod for a long time. And I was studying weather on Cape Cod on Saturday. I was immersed. There was two meteorologists in the room. Correct me if I'm wrong. Me and Weary Lundstedt, my buddy from college. And Jim Cantore was on the line. We're all texting each other because there was a major event happening meteorologically. I called it the Enigma Storm. That storm that we had on Saturday, it snowed in the hills of Worcester County. That was an incredibly unusual event. And to have
it knocked out my satellite radio for a while.
Exactly. This storm was something that you will not experience in two lifetimes. It could be every third lifetime of how the trajectory and intensity of this storm was. It wasn't a nor'easter. It wasn't a polar vortex. It wasn't a clipper. My friend called it a Montreal clipper because it came from Montreal to Cape Cod, and it was an enigma. And in the middle of the enigma fell a three-ton.
Are you thinking it's just related somehow?
There is a slight possibility there is a relation because the enigma storm was centered over Cape Cod, and it was vertically stacked. So what that means is the center of the circulation at the surface went all the way up to the top of the atmosphere, which is very unusual, the top of the atmosphere being a little taller than Mount Everest. And to have the air coming from the northwest, Benjamin Franklin is the one that deduced that a nor'easter had winds at the surface from the northeast, but winds up in the sky were from the south. And that's the typical nor'easter. That's how they move from Philadelphia to Boston. That's the typical trajectory of a nor'easter. But this one came from Montreal, and the wind was from the northeast on the ground on Cape Cod and up in the sky as the center, like the center eye of a hurricane, went over Cape Cod Bay. The wind aligned aloft from the top of the atmosphere from Montreal to Cape Cod, and this meteor actually flew in on a tailwind into the center of the Enigma storm and landed 30 miles north of where we were on Bass River in Cape Cod Bay. So immediately I drove to Cape Cod Bay and started looking for it.
But I beat you to it. I got it.
You got the rock. Now, if you have a magnet in the house, William, do you have a magnet? We could test that for its qualities because you can go get one. Can you get a balloon, too, so we can talk about the weather? And what happened to that chocolate cake you were eating?
It was a chocolate almond.
Almond.
Yeah. So my grandson is in here. He's very interested in the meteor. He wanted to talk about the meteor. What if the meteor, how big was the meteor?
3 foot in diameter, about the size of this table.
Three feet. That's a yard, right?
Yeah, and it weighed about a ton. And it came in at about 70,000 miles per hour. And
what if it had hit on Cape Cod?
The last person to be hit by a meteor, it was in Ohio in 1954. The odds of winning Powerball, I think, are a little lower than being hit by a meteor. I don't really understand all the statistics on it, but it's a wonder that more people aren't hit.
Who was that? What was his? I assume he was killed.
Nope, came through the roof, left the hole. She was in the living room and hit the bedroom. I actually just made that up. That's what we do, meteorologists. We make stuff up.
So did a meteor really hit somebody in Ohio?
It hit a house.
Oh, it hit a house.
And that's the last known, closest impact of... Now, they do sprinkle down, but generally they are smaller than the rock you have there. Generally, the shooting stars you see in the sky, and there was one last night over Sebec Lake, and my buddy Mike McCormick has a series of webcams throughout the Earth, and he captured it. So
a shooting star, disintegrates before it hits the Earth.
It's generally smaller than that rock you have. A shooting star is generally the size of a marble, as small as a grain of sand. And the reason it's so bright is because it burns up so bright so fast, and it just disintegrates up at the top of the atmosphere. But once they get over the size of a basketball or so, or that big would disintegrate. But once they get the size of a...
Thank goodness it didn't, because now I have it.
We can get you a rock from the bottom of Cape Cod Bay, a legit one. I know you've got people. We'll get you people. We'll get a boat. I got a guy who will go down 100 feet.
Are you saying you don't believe this is really a rock from the meteorite?
That rock is from New Hampshire. It's clearly granite. Or perhaps it's from Vermont. And you can see the stratiform layers in there. It is not metallic. Meteorites are generally metallic, and that's why they're saying that you can go down to the bottom of Cape Cod Bay with a super magnet and... pick it up.
Yeah.
And that's how sometimes they differentiate between the regular rocks and the meteors. Meteorites. You know the difference between a meteor and a meteorite?
Yes. I do. A meteor is in the atmosphere. A meteorite hits the Earth.
Very good. Yes.
And she was saying that a meteorite has to hit the land, but I corrected her on that.
It hit a house, the ocean.
The ocean. The
William.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
And so that's why they call us meteorologists, because we study raindrops and snowflakes. The apple that hit Isaac Newton in the head was a meteorite once it hit him in the head.
So is this just you can never predict. It's not like Halley's Comet where you could predict You could predict meteor showers, though, right?
Not well. Yeah, that's going through the tail of old comets. So the comet, we go through the comets. The comets don't necessarily go through us, and the comets are swirling around the solar system, ancient bodies of decaying chunks of ice, and that's generally ice. And then you see the tail of it, and you can predict those things. They're very predictable. There are asteroids out there, and there have been some that we've detected in the last 24 months that we were concerned is going to make a close call to Earth. And those big ones.
I've been reading stories like that all my life. So has everybody.
Right, yeah. The one that got the dinosaurs. The one that got the dinosaurs was about the size of Mount Everest. And it weighed like 30 teratons or something like that. And that wiped out the dinosaurs. So it we're all vulnerable every day. It's dangerous getting out of bed.
Officer Mark says, now available, Honest Howie's Meteor Insurance. Rock solid protection at bargain prices.
Why was it so loud?
Why was it so loud?
All right, so there were two booms, right? And they were heard even in Rhode Island,
Southern
New Hampshire.
Yeah, they said it was six states, someone's saying.
Right, and there is video of it that's starting to emerge. They could see it from Ohio. That was pretty good because we had
Ohio?
Clouds. Yeah, they could see it from Ohio. And somebody in Vermont, the storm in Vermont had just cleared out.
My city was gone.
And and they put up a parking lot. So, yeah, it was incredibly bright. And these kind of meteors actually somewhere on Earth, probably every 3 to 6 months, something like this occurs. So the two sounds were, one, you're probably familiar with a sonic boom when a jet plane goes boom.
Right.
Like the Concorde in the olden days.
Yeah.
And so that would be the sonic boom. As the meteor entered the atmosphere, it made a sonic boom. And then the second boom was when it exploded. Boom. Boom.
But why would it explode?
Well, I had to Google that. And
so this is Google knowledge that we're imparting.
Isn't, isn't that how we all live? There's OpenAI right there on your screen. I see it. And so and I didn't understand that either because that was an obvious question to me. I'd never looked that up before. And the reason it exploded was that even though it is a solid and iron, there are porous, you know, little tiny microscopic holes where air can infiltrate the rock and the... The trajectory, it was through
so like ice blows up pavement in the winter when it expands?
A little bit, except for the fluid is not ice or H2O. It is air, which is mostly nitrogen, and that gets into the rock, and the movement of the rock has so much momentum that the air penetrates the rock to a degree that it explodes the rock. So it's basically like blowing up a balloon and having it explode, except for it's a rock.
How could something this big be, or not that much bigger than this, be heard in six states?
It was a lot bigger than that. It was 300 times bigger than that. Because of the 300 megatons of equal dynamite power. So I'm used to it. Let's go up on the roof and drop 300 tons of dynamite off and see how much noise it makes. See if they can hear it in Ohio. Can we do that? You got permission to do that?
Michael Morrissey would indict Karen Reed again for causing an explosion.
It is, it's just an incredible burst of energy. Yeah.
All right, you want to stick around for one more segment and ask?
May I
ask you about the weather?
Well, thank you. I love the weather. It's like my favorite topic, really.
Yeah, okay, 844. If you got a question for Tim Kelly, he's a what's your website, Tim?
TKweather.com. I do a video every single day, 25 minutes. Nobody in my ear to say rap, go to break. I get to talk for as long as I want.
844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr. Imagine a scenario where you or your loved ones face a threat. Your first instinct might be to resort to lethal force, but it's crucial to consider a safer, less lethal alternative first to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Introducing Byrna. Byrna's less lethal pistol launcher, this device is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition and designed to incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes, providing a critical window for you to escape or get help while minimizing the risk of permanent harm. Here's a real-life account from a Byrna customer named Adam. While heading to his night shift, Adam encountered a road-raging driver who swerved dangerously, stopped abruptly, and armed himself with his burner launcher. He aimed the laser at the aggressor's chest, which immediately de-escalated the situation. The hostile driver returned to his vehicle and awaited the police. The officers confirmed that Adams' non-lethal response was perfectly judged and handled. That night, Burner didn't just prevent a potential tragedy, it saved two lives without causing physical harm. Burner is legal in all 50 states, requires no background checks, and can be conveniently shipped directly to your door. More than 500,000 units sold and proudly hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna.com/Howie now for an exclusive 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Howie, BYRNA.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr is back.
Tim Kelly is with us for one more segment. He's a longtime Boston meteorologist, and now he's TK.
TKweather.com. I've had a branding issue lately. I didn't know what to call myself, so I came up with TK. How's that? Original?
It's not bad. That's not bad. Can you ask TK if he is familiar with Reed Timmer and his launching of sensors into tornadoes, says 978. Yeah. So far this season, he's had several successful launches. In the data is priceless. Is Tim aware of the sensor and what Reed?
So that stuff that they had in the original tornado movie Twister, when they deployed all those little things and they get sucked up, that's real. They do that, and I don't know if it's exactly that way, but yeah, you have sensors that you put up, and just like in a hurricane, a plane's going to fly over and drop something into the hurricane to give you feedback on what's happening in the vertical profile of a hurricane. So we're now doing that with tornadoes, and traditionally you would use a radar. So I'm not specifically familiar with what Reed is putting in there, but I'm going to be Googling it. And Reed is one of the real deal. He's one of the original tornado chasers, and he's got the Dominator. You should see his car. You got to look at that.
Before you leave, I got to ask you a question. Why does the weather seem to suck so much? And when I was a kid, it seemed like, you know, you get to June, it's going to at least appear to be somewhat spring-like, if not summer-like. And yet it was 46 degrees this morning. Yesterday, Saturday afternoon, when the meteor landed and the big storm came through.
We had an agreement back about 20, 30 years ago that Chambers of Commerce would send us money and we would arrange nice weekends. The agreement terminated. They wouldn't renew. So now we put the nice weather on, say, when TK has the day off Tuesday and Wednesday. Wait till you see how nice it is tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Just plan your weddings on a Wednesday.
We got out of here on Friday night at 6 o'clock, and as soon as we got in the car, the rain started falling.
It's a weather rhythm. Weather does have rhythm, and it all works in waves. And it's just a coincidence that in the last about 14 months, we have had a rhythm where the fronts have been coming in on a Thursday, Friday, lingering over the weekend, and then going away on a Monday and a Tuesday. And it's been this way for about, I'm not kidding, I write it down every day, and I have Tuesdays off. And I say Tuesdays are good if you can get them. And if you are enjoying a beautiful Wednesday, you might as well just say goodbye to Saturday night and Sunday.
Joey, you're next with Howie Carr and Tim Kelly. Joey, what's up?
Hey, so thanks for taking my call, Howie. Love the show. Tim, thanks so much. So I kind of came in late, but Howie asked a question like, well, Tim, what kind of catastrophic damage would it do? And I guess it was a meteor hit. So my question is, how big would a meteor have to be to do catastrophic damage in, let's say, a metropolitan area?
I'd say at least a half mile in diameter. It would be more than metropolitan area. The one that wiped out the dinosaurs was the size of Mount Everest. So I know we were long overdue, right? There are craters across, you know, the Earth, and we haven't had an impact like that in 20, 30,000 years or something like that. I would give it at least a half mile or a quarter mile in diameter. And this is just a rough estimate, but I'll be Googling it.
A quarter mile. If you got hit with a something.
Yeah, it's because they generate heat also. And that's what killed the dinosaurs. I think that what we were taught as kids about the dinosaurs was that the dust flew up and blocked the sun and cooled them. But no, the new theory is, or the new consensus in science, is that the meteor impact sent a flash of extreme hot air across the entire globe that was 500 to 1,000 degrees, and that's why only things that survived were in water and caves and such, roaches, sharks, horseshoe
little
crabs.
Little mammals.
Little things.
Yeah. You want to stick around or you want
is
to
that
do...
a short
okay,
segment
we'll
or what?
One more segment.
Yeah, sure.
One more segment for Tim Kelly, if you got any questions for the weather, or tornadoes, meteorites, moon rocks, etc. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Chiron on Channel 25, meteorite may be located in Cape Cod Bay, although some pieces have already started coming out.
Howie's pet rock, meteorite rock.
844, this is a special kind. I mean, you say it's a granite rock, but it's not like normal meteorite, but it's different.
This
it's
moon a, rock.
It's a
cool.
moon rock.
It's your rock.
It's a moon rock. It's a moon meteorite rock. Where were you when the meteor hit, Howie? Did you feel it in Wellesley? I was in here in Needham. I was coming in here to do a little work, and the mailroom manager was in the car going somewhere, and she claimed she heard it, but I didn't hear it.
She said you could feel it too. I mean, it was a sonic boom. There was a burst of air, pressure gradient.
844-500-4242 with us is Tim Kelly for one more segment. He's the host, the owner of tkweather.com. He's a meteorologist in many places in the Boston area for many years. So, Tim, people want to take some want to ask you some questions.
Love
here.
It.
John, you're next with Howie Carr and Tim Kelly from TK Weather.
Yeah, hi.
John.
Yeah, hi, Howie, and hi, Mr. Kelly. I'm an amateur radio operator and a member of the Skywarn Network, and
awesome.
Which you're probably familiar with. And I was reminded during training yesterday that today is the 15th anniversary of the EF3 tornado that ripped through Hampden County. Winds peaking around 160 miles an hour. Unfortunately, three people died during that event, and the tornado was on the ground for about an hour and 10 minutes and traveled a path of 38 miles. So I was wondering what your thoughts on that event were.
Well, that was the worst one since the Worcester tornado, so the worst one in 50 years. And these events just probably as frequent as the tornado would be more frequent, actually, than a meteor exploding, falling into Cape Cod Bay. But we're not that vulnerable to tornadoes, but that's one of the more notable ones.
I remember that one hit downtown Springfield and it, near our station, WHYN, and I remember looking out over the studio when we went in there, and there was a giant tree from colonial times taken out.
And the web camera there that caught it going across the Connecticut River, that was extraordinary. And the Worcester tornado, I can't remember what year that was, in the 50s.
54, I think.
Bob Skilling was working over here at the Blue Hill Observatory, and air mail from central Massachusetts was literally falling out of the sky into the Blue Hill Observatory.
Really?
Lot. Yes. So, tornadoes are probably, I would be more frightened of a tornado than, say, a great white shark or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was a serious one.
Thanks for the call, John. Rob, you're next with Howie Carr and Tim Kelly, the local meteorologist and the owner of tkweather.com. Go ahead, Rob.
Yes, sir. I have a question for Tim. I understand that because of their scarcity that meteors are more valuable than diamonds, number one. I don't know if that's true
this
or not.
This is great.
Yes.
Got to keep an eye on this thing.
Number two, I understand that you're prohibited from using a metal detector on, say, like government lands to find them. And would that help, a metal detector?
Yes.
And where would the greatest probability of say, perhaps finding some of these very valuable items, meteorites?
Well, currently going out of Plymouth Harbor and diving down about 100 feet east of Plymouth and... Yeah, some meteorites have precious, not only metals, but also rubies, not specifically rubies, but crystalline, you know, jewelry type, what's the word? Gems. Yes. Thank you very much. And they do cross sections, and some of them have gems that are more valuable than diamonds.
Well, how do you know that something's a moon rock or a meteorite?
It's usually more magnetic. Like if you put a magnet on that rock, not a moon rock and a Mars rock is not going to do that. It has to be from the primordial collision of planets from millions of years ago.
Someone says, my wife and I in Wakefield heard the meteor. Both of us immediately asked our 10-year-old daughter upstairs what she did.
Yeah. What's broken?
Mr. Kelly, have any meteorites been recovered from the 2010 Perseids meteor shower? If so, how were they different than iron meteorites?
Well, generally, the Perseids and such stay up in the sky, and those generally are particles of ice dust. And so they generally do not land on Earth.
Oh.
So I don't think so.
And even if they did land, they wouldn't last long unless they landed today in Boston. Then they might last for a while because the ice isn't going to melt that quickly today with this weather.
The weather is only bad at your events. My events are all going great. Thanks.
Todd, you're next with Howie Carr and Tim Kelly. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick questions. Number one, do they name meteorites like they do comets, or no?
They will end up with a name. That'll end up being the Cape Cod Bay meteorite. Yep.
Oh, how about
you can't predict it.
You can't predict it.
You can't predict. You can't name it like the hurricanes or something.
Well, the
like
Blizzard of 78 wasn't a Blizzard of 78 until after it happened. You know?
Right.
Well, I was going to suggest the Trump meteor because it's symbolic of all the dinosaurs in Congress being exterminated. But anyways. Another question, how much advance notice do we have of this? Like, if it's
zero.
A lot larger, we're not here laughing about it.
Well, we told you after it happened. There's no advance notice. Now, if there's an asteroid coming at us.
Armageddon lied to me.
Yeah, there's no advance
notice. But
again,
now that I think about it, I hadn't thought about it, but that was a weird storm on Saturday.
I called it the Enigma storm, and I started talking about it a week before it happened.
And it happened.
It was crazy how strong the wind was. It was just... I could go on. Go to my website and watch the videos from the last 3 days. Surf ski weather is my handle on YouTube. Surf ski weather. I primarily like to go surfing and skiing and talk about weather. If I could make a living doing that, that's what I'm working on. You can help me.
Now, today is the beginning of hurricane season, and now one of the texters says he's always amused by the fact that the National Weather Service or whoever comes out and says we're going to have somewhere between 1 and 120 named storms.
It's 9 to 19. Come on, yeah.
But how the hell do they know?
Well,
how the hell do they know?
Andrew hit Miami, and it was the A storm. It was only one storm. Bob hit New England. It was the B storm. So that means. It only takes one or two.
I know, but how do they predict the number?
There's weather detectives out there. They look at analog years. They look at what happens in the sea surface temperatures. So this summer we have a super El Nino, which is making headlines. Yeah, trying to scare the children.
Watch out, William.
Yeah, exactly. Super El Nino is coming. And what that means is the Pacific equatorial water temperatures are going to be 2 to 3 degrees Celsius above the climatological average, which usually inhibits hurricanes over the Atlantic Ocean. So this is going to be an unusually quiet hurricane season, but it only takes one rock in the head.
You know, in Florida, they had a terrible storm in like the early part of the century, right? On the East Coast. And that's when they passed the statewide law. Mandating insurance on houses, right? And since then, since that law has been passed, it's been more than 20 years. Florida has never gotten the East Coast of Florida. The West Coast has gotten slammed, but not the East Coast.
And Cape Cod, we had all our insurance canceled about 20 years ago. We all had to go to this thing, Fair Plan. And since then, we haven't really had that kind of bad of a hurricane. And do you know that the insurance companies treat named and unnamed storms differently? So if you get hit by a storm like Sandy, technically was not a hurricane when it hit New Jersey, and the insurance companies were able to raise the deductions. There was not a hurricane. It was walked like a hurricane, talked like a hurricane, hit like a hurricane, but technically it wasn't a warm core storm, so they didn't keep it.
That
as
must be some kind of act of Congress that made that, that gave them that loophole.
Some of the lobbyists and the insurance companies, I would say.
Right, that's what I mean. They got it through. They got it through Congress.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. That's a deep issue.
Officer Mark says Joe Biden says he once caught a red hot meteorite in his bare hands, but dropped it and his house caught on fire. I do seem to remember him saying something about that, and his cat barely escaped, as I recall. That was the second part of the story about catching the red hot meteorite. Somebody says there's a great book about the Worcester tornado called "The Tornado!" Exclamation point by John O'Toole. I don't know that book. That was a huge. I mean, there were like 50 people killed, right?
Yeah, and in those days we didn't have the kind of heads up. We didn't have radars that were that good. We didn't have video cameras everywhere, so you just saw it coming and you ducked for cover. That was it.
Yeah. Well, that was like the hurricane of 38, right?
Exactly.
I mean, nobody knew it was coming. You just see suddenly the sky turns black.
You know,
if you're out fishing in the sea, you're doomed.
Yeah, the official forecast was for, you know, they had some strong winds off North Carolina, and I think that the going forecast was that was going to miss to the east, and it came barreling up at 55, 60 miles an hour into Long Island Sound. And my dad said that, and I learned this lesson a long time ago, was that the hurricanes that hit New England, they got to be really moving. He called them steaming to the north when they go by North Carolina. I don't know if you remember, but there was a hurricane. Ophelia, hurricane warning for all of southeastern Massachusetts. This has happened several times where in the olden days, the weatherman got to lead the news, but somehow the governors now get to lead the news. So the governors come on and do
that's because they have a jacket that says MEMA on
and,
it.
And
Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency.
We've had more than one or two weekends canceled on Cape Cod by government telling us don't go to Cape Cod this weekend. And you go down there and it's sunny and all the business owners are up in arms because
Charlie Parker was good at that. There are giant bottles out there. Don't get caught in the bottles.
He was responsible for one ruined weekend on Cape Cod. Yes, he was.
There's a lot at stake here.
He ruined a lot more than one weekend on Cape Cod back in 2020 and 2021.
I don't like that they allowed the governors to get on the news before the weatherman. And then we have to go on after them and say, well, you know, there's been some changes to the forecast. The latest is it going offshore. And it's too late. The momentum is there. You can't undo it at that point. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, don't tell us you're sorry. We know how sorry you are, Governor. All right. So nothing to so again, where can people go to catch your 25 minutes a day?
On YouTube is more popular. That's Surf Ski Weather, Tim Kelly. And I just rebranded and I'm the TK Weather Experience at tkweather.com. So I've got some, you know, branding issues.
All right. So thank you. Thank you for coming in, Tim. We really appreciate it.
It was fun. Thank you for having me. I'm going to meet William up on the top of Blue Hill in the summertime. We're going to have fun. We're going to blow up balloons and talk about what is wind? Why is there weather? Look at him.
He's fascinated by this.
Yeah, this is a true story. It's really going to happen. All thank right. you, Howie.
Thank you, Tim. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com, localsilvermint.com. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is will Maine Democrats be able to get Graham Plattner off the ballot before November?
No.
64% of the audience agrees no. 36% say yes.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to try, though. Because Governor, it's just come out in a move that could shake up the upcoming Democrat primary. Governor Mills is reminding Mainers that she is still technically in the running for the U.S. Senate. Despite suspending her active campaign on April 30th due to fundraising struggles and trailing in the polls, Mills told the Sun Journal, Lewiston, on Sunday that her name will remain on the primary ballot. People have the impression that I withdrew or dropped out, but I simply suspended active campaigning, Mills stated. I am still on the ballot. And you heard John Featherston in the last hour from the main wire. He was in the state capitol in Augusta today, and he said her office was buzzing. So they're going to try to do something, and if they can't get her, if they can't win the primary, you know, and again, she's not a write-in vote. You just go in and you vote for her if you want, and I think they'll try to move him out, but I don't know if he can be moved or not. 844-500-4242. Richard, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking my call. Your guest still there?
Yeah, no, he's gone. He left. I'm sorry.
Oh gosh. Well, maybe you could ask him later about, you know, the saying is, sow the wind, reap the whirlwind.
Yes.
My question with him then, what he thought about this Artemis. You know, you got these booster rockets, and they're producing an awful, tremendous ton of thrust. And I'm wondering if that could create some tornadoes.
I don't know about that, Richard. I mean, I think it's pretty hard for human beings to screw up the weather or the atmosphere in any way. I mean, think how big the Earth is, and the stuff that's really screwed up the climate has been things like volcanoes. You know, I always come back to that. Most people don't know about it, but you know, there've been books written about this that I think the summer of 1820 there was some volcano in Krakatoa or somewhere down in the Pacific or the Indian Ocean, and it produced so much ash that like when the asteroid that supposedly wiped out the dinosaurs, it blocked the sun. It just covered the atmosphere, and they in Vermont they called it the year without a summer. I mean, I guess it was real. I mean, they couldn't grow any crops. I mean, if it had happened in the Middle Ages, probably some people would have, you know, there would have been famine. And as it was a very bad situation. And but I don't think a booster, a simple booster rocket, I mean, that was a big mess, obviously, and it was quite the embarrassment to the world's second or third or fourth richest man. But I don't think it had any long-term effects. But it's an interesting theory, though. 844-500-4242. 617 says you might have your own little meteorologist, William. Who knows, Howie? It would be a wonderful career if he ends up liking it, or maybe he'll follow in your footsteps. God love him. He likes hanging out here, I must say. He enjoys it. Of course, what's not to like? He has books, and he gets to watch Dick Tracy movies, and we have chocolate-covered almonds, and he gets taken out to McDonald's. So it's kind of a wonderful place for a little kid, I think. 844-500-4242-207. You need to have Tim on as a regular. He was great. It was an interesting thing today to have him on, just because it was something you don't see very often, hardly ever. 781, why are you leaving the South Carolina explosions last Thursday a good leaving alone? You know, until you mentioned them, 781, I didn't even know about them, you know? If I don't get an opportunity to pick up a piece of meteorite of my own, I don't really pay much attention to meteorites. You know, I like to see them I like to monetize, to be able to monetize a meteorite. And that's what I've been doing. And people are saying, are you going to be selling meteorite rocks? You know, buy one for $19.99 and get the second one free. No, I'm gonna be giving away meteorite rocks at the Litchfield's Bar and Grill on a week from Friday in Wells, Maine. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon. I'm Howie Carr.